Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Sherry, to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. We're so excited to have you.
I feel the same. It's just a privilege to be here with you all.
Well, I'm so excited to hear your story. You've been struggling for quite some time.
I really have. And honestly, it's kind of awkward for me. I'm actually from Texas, and we actually owned property there, and we had a lot of tick bites. You know, we'd be out playing with the kids and fishing all day and riding, you know, four wheelers. We pulled a lot of ticks off of us back then, but it wasn't until we moved to upstate New York, and it was, I believe it was 2001, that we moved there, and we were there for 14 years. And we actually had some land. We had about 24 acres on, one of the ski mountains. It was the backside of Bristol Ski Mountain. And we had a 2-acre lake that was built into the hill. And we were just always there. We didn't have a house yet. So we would always go out there. I was homeschooling at that time, obviously giving birth to a lot of kids. We have 9 kids.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. And you.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. Yeah. So 8 of them are from my womb, and 1 of them is from my heart. We have an adopted son from the Bronx in New York City. Interestingly, we would always go out there. So 17 years, I homeschooled. We spent a lot of time out of that land. And it's definitely the Finger Lake region is a lot of deer. There's a lot of deer, but coming from Texas, I didn't think much about anything like that. I never had a tick bite that I saw, or a tick on me. It was July 19th, 2012. I was out there fishing with my kids, and we had a very traumatic accident where at the time our 3 youngest were 2, 4, and 5, and they got into our 15 passenger van and found the keys, put it in the ignition, and rolled 150 feet down the mountain they almost actually hit me. I was only a few feet away from them. They went by me and into our pond, which sunk in about a minute and 48 seconds. Oh, no. And thank God my other 2 daughters were there playing in the lake on a boat, and we managed to get them out, but it was very traumatic. We were all over the news, the front page. It was just to relive it over the next few days. I found myself, you know, I'm a woman of faith. I'm an ordained minister. I was at that time a professional woman speaker, and everything stopped after that accident for me. What I didn't know is that it was Lyme's.
Yeah.
What I was diagnosed with was PTSD, which I'm sure I had that.
I'm sure it was part of the mix. Yeah. I mean,
yes. Yeah. Yes. It's like looking back. I mean, that's, I think, you know, when I listen to the other podcasts from you all, it's like, I just sit there and go, yes, yes. You don't realize that traumatic experiences bring on a flare up, but my flare up, because we didn't know what it was diagnosed with a lot of mental issues stemming from the accident, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. I mean, the list goes on. Interestingly enough, I was also diagnosed with the possibility of MS, but that was years before. So some of those things where you just, I don't know how long I've had this, because throughout the years, I would go to the doctors and say, I'm really tired. I'm really struggling. And they'd say, well, of course you are. You have all these kids. But I knew that I was really struggling. It wasn't just I'm tired, and if I could just get 8 hours of sleep, I'll be fine. I'll wake up replenished. I didn't wake up like that. And I think it was just misdiagnosed after misdiagnosis throughout the years, for many years. And we finally left New York because I just couldn't handle the winters anymore. The depression was getting quite heavy. I had days where I couldn't go up the stairs more than once or down the stairs more than once. And, you know, after that accident, I probably spent a good year really in bed, just struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. And what kind of you were looking for solutions. And I mean, what type of solutions were being presented to you at that time? I mean, obviously they were just, it's just, you know, stress, PTSD, 9 kids, but obviously you should be able to make it up and down the stairs twice in a day, even with 9 kids.
Yeah.
Right. You know, what really was misdiagnosed for the first, I would say, good year and a half with mental. There's something wrong here. It's not your body. It's the accident. Take more pills. And I definitely would take pills at night that if I wasn't sitting down in 10 minutes, I would have passed out. So I had medication that made my skin crawl. It was really, really difficult. And my dad, who was really ill, also was living with us at the time. And so trying to care for him and take care of myself, I mean, it was a really dark time for our family. And then it was fibromyalgia. So, okay, I didn't want to take the medication side of things. My mom died of cancer when I was 32, and we had started eating organic after she had passed away. So we were doing a lot of things right. And I was always looking for alternatives. So we did, I did like the salt float tank. I even bought one because I thought I had fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
And that was helpful. But I mean, there was nothing that was going to solve my problem. I remember my husband driving me to, he wasn't an integrative doctor, but he was a naturopathic doctor in Oklahoma for a week of IV therapy, you know, 3.5 hours a day of IV therapy. And I did the coffee enemas. I tried finding everything holistic, acupuncture. You know, it's crazy when you go back and think of all the things. And I would have seasons where I did better.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I crashed, I would go work out, and I even ran a half a marathon. I trained for it. But when I went down, I went down, and there was no coming back. I could, you know, go work out at the gym and then spend 5 days in bed.
Wow.
And, you know, eventually we did move here to North Carolina, because I didn't want to go back to the heat in Texas, but I didn't want to be in the winter doldrums in New York. So we moved here, and, you know, here it was, again, going to see doctors, same diagnoses, but I just kept going and working out. But then the pain, the stiffness, we live, actually, our house is built into the side of the mountain. And so we have like 3 full floors and 2 half floors. So there's stairs involved. And my husband told me just, you know, a few months ago, he said, do you remember how you used to walk up those stairs? And it was one step at a time, both feet, hands on the rail. So I had gained a lot of weight. I was miserable and depressed. But I kept trying to work out. I kept, you know, getting worse. So I ended up actually there's so many things. I did get a doctor and did some hormone replacement, some bioidenticals. But it wasn't until 2 years ago that I started at a new gym. And one of the women there told me about an integrative doctor in Houston, Texas. And that is where I went. And she was the first person ever to do a Lyme's test. Oh, this is actually funny because, Tawny, we talked about this. Nobody ever told me that maybe you have Lyme's. It was always the others, the fibromyalgia, the chronic fatigue syndrome, or, you know, just some mental issues. But I was watching the Beverly Hills Housewives, and it was Yolanda Hadid that I was watching that season, and I would lay in my bed because that's all I did. I just laid in my room, and I didn't have the energy to do anything. And I watched TV, and I remember seeing her and seeing everything she was doing, the vitamins and IVs. And I was like, gosh, but her symptoms sound so much like mine. Because eventually the doctor said, you have an autoimmune disease, but they didn't know which one. And I looked up every one, and I was like, I have some symptoms of each, but I don't have any of all.
And did so they it was show, when I, Do they show any blood markers to say that you had an autoimmune, or still just kind of throw a diagnosis on you and hopefully it sticks somehow?
Yeah.
Never had really testing, never really had any kind of testing other than just your typical tests that they would run, you know? So when I saw that, I remember calling my husband in the room and saying, watch this. Doesn't she look like me? Doesn't she sound like me? It sounds crazy. The brain fog, just to blow dry my hair was so exhausting. And I remember her going to a dinner one night, she didn't put any makeup on and they were all giving her like a hard time. And I thought, that's me every day. Like to just, I used to have my girls blow dry my hair because just to hold my arm up was so tiring for me. So when I went to this doctor or called her, we had our initial consult, I told her about my symptoms and I asked her if she tested for Lyme and she said, absolutely. So she did the whole gamut of testing. And of course I did have Lyme's and it was a lot of red, a lot of red markers. I think 12 to 14 on that first initial testing that we did 2 years ago. So at least I had an answer and I knew I wasn't crazy because, you know, there were definite times that I wasn't suicidal. I could see where people would be because you just, you know, I was convinced that I did have bone cancer or, you know, I watched my mom go through cancer and I was like, I remember she was anemic and how she felt and it's how I felt. And yes, people think you look great, you know, but I didn't feel great on the inside. I felt like I was 90 and I was really, really sick. So I never felt, like I said, suicidal, but there were definitely times, especially being a mom with little kids. And, you know, I still remember my daughter, my youngest daughter, who's 12 now, but at the time she was maybe 6 or 7 for Mother's Day. She drew a picture at school and it was, you know, Happy Mother's Day. And what do you like to do with your mom? And the picture was her and me laying in bed. Yeah. And, you know, it just really broke my heart. And I thought, this is not quality of life with my kids. And it took a toll on some of our older kids that had to care for, you know, the younger ones. And there were definite days that, you know, God had promised me a long time ago that he was going to bless me with long life. He would satisfy me with a long life. And there was a couple times I said, I don't want, if this is what my life is going to be like, then take me. I don't want to live this way. So I'm just so grateful to have had somebody who actually took me serious when it came to my health and not just want to give me another pill.
Right. And to get that test, it really like validated us is what I remembered that, you know, because you do kind of start to believe that maybe it is in your head. You know, maybe, and if you work a little bit harder at it, you'll feel better. And it was just nice to have somebody tell you, yes, something is wrong with you. It's not in your head, and this is what you have. Not that we wanted Lyme, but it was just nice to be validated and be, you know, have somebody hear us.
Right. Because, you know, at church, like after, you know, I was, like I said, a very active ministry and in traveling, leading teams to Haiti, New York City, we did a lot. And after that accident, I was not able to do any ministry. My focus, I mean, I would spend all day every weekend because I taught class. I wrote the studies. I wrote a half of a book. I used to spend all my time in God's word studying. I couldn't anymore. I just didn't have the mental, the brain fog was so bad. And it's still, you know, that's still an area that I struggle today. It's better, but I actually went to Dr. Amon's clinic and had a spec scan done a couple of years ago. Actually, I think it was about a year and a half ago. And it definitely showed inflammation on my brain. The GABA center was really quite high. And, you know, I had actually began, my dad who lived with us passed away 5 years ago. And after he passed away, I really started struggling. And I did go to alcohol, to wine, to try to calm me down. Actually, that happened after the accident, but it got a lot worse. And going there did help me realize that it doused that part of my brain. The GABA center, she said, or at the clinic, the doctor said, it's not red fire, it's white fire. And And it's just in that and the inflammation in my brain. So at least gave me some answers to where I didn't think I was just crazy. It was just, you know, all in my mind.
Yeah, because I mean, you have the combination. You have obviously you had the traumatic event. Yet in itself can really kind of hardwire that trauma.
Yeah.
But then if you bring then the Lyme and the chronic infection with the inflammatory aspect and also you know with the trauma opening up the blood-brain barrier, so these pathogens can really get in there into your nervous system. I mean that's really going to mess with everything.
It really did. And then I felt like I would get a little better. So I would go to a gym, I'd start working out, and then I would just, it was something, it would just plummet. And I couldn't explain it to anybody. Just, I would come home from working out, I'd get in bed and I'd stay there for 3 days. And then I'd get up and I'd go try and do it again because I really, I did want to move and I didn't want to stay in my bed and I was gaining weight and I was so miserable and unhappy. So I keep getting up and I kept trying something else. So I was, like I said, so blessed to, you know, meet Dr. Davis, and I fly there actually every 4 months. I go to Texas to see her because she was the first doctor that ever actually really listened to me and believed me when I told her all these really crazy symptoms and body aches. And, you know, it's hard to explain to people that you feel like you're 90 when you walk upstairs and your hips hurt and you never feel like you actually get sleep or get rested. And, you know, my family said, well, just take a nap. And I'd lay in bed because I couldn't, because the brain is firing, but the body is in shutdown mode. And, it's listening to your podcast, because I've been listening to so many, I'm like, oh my gosh, even the Lyme rage, I've experienced that. Lyme rage, and just thinking, why am I so upset? Why am I so quick? So, you know, it's still here. I mean, I just got tested for it again, but the markers are, I believe I have two markers that are in the red. And, you know, there was a time when Lyme's really had control of my life. And now I'm in a place where I feel like I have more control over Lyme's, but I also have a big, big strict regimen that I have to live by. So
I'm curious. So when you started, how many were in the red at that time? I mean, now you got two.
It was 12 to 14 in the red.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Uh-huh. And I didn't understand anything about Lyme's, but I could definitely look at a chart and see red, yellows, reds. There was not a lot of greens. So going and getting it tested now and seeing the improvement, I am going to do another round of antibiotics. I did oral antibiotics when we found it. And I started doing high vitamin C IV treatments every week. I do massage therapy every 2 weeks, needling on my hips and joints. And like I said, it's like a part-time job, but it's worth it.
It absolutely is. When we're really sick, it's definitely a full-time job. And I think when you're just trying to maintain our good health, it definitely is like having a part-time job. But, you know as well as I do, we'll do anything to stay healthy because we're so sick that once we find our life and we get our life back, we'll do just about anything to stay there.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, your kids have their mom back.
They do. They do. And it's wonderful. We are, it's still a balance. And what I found out for me, I've not gone back into ministry. That's probably the hardest thing for me, because I always felt like I was called to do ministry. I do see things changing in my life. And I realize God can use you, whether you're in a church or whether, you know, you're out doing what I'm doing, which, you know, for me is, I don't know if you know, because I don't know if you've seen my my Facebook, but I'm actually in my first bodybuilding competition in 3 weeks. Oh, so this journey has been a full circle journey for me. Yeah. So
that is incredible.
But I have to learn how to say no to a lot of things. Yeah. Because I don't have that energy.
No, but this is something to prove to yourself. I mean, here you were not being able to get out of bed. And now you're at this place. So it's kind of that mental, you know, that see what I can do at this point and what I've conquered.
Yes, Absolutely. Absolutely. It's huge for me and for my kids. I know they're really proud of me, and it's been a long journey, and I couldn't do it without, you know, my husband. He just fed me before I came out here. He took over all the cooking. The kids take over the cleaning. And I mean, they've, you know, they've had to do it. They've done a really great job, but it's nice to start gaining something back where you actually feel like you have your life back. Yeah. So, yeah.
And this would, I mean, it'll bring your ministry. I mean, this would be a different type of ministry, but it will still kind of add, it will add a dimension to it that wasn't there, you know, because you've lived this, you've gone through, you've been down in the pits, and you've really been able, through God's help, conquer it.
Yes. Yeah, I actually have a pretty good following, and I do feel like it's opened up doors in my mind, maybe, to what, you know, I think Lyme's changes our life. I don't know anybody that has had Lyme's that goes back to their life maybe prior, because you do have to change. And my priorities are very different. And when I'm asked to volunteer, I'm like, you know, this I can do, all of this I cannot do, you know? So I think it's learning how to balance your life with Lyme so that you can do the things you want to do and the things that are really important. And then I realized, like, that's what God's called me to do in this season. Then it's not to go out and do what I was doing. I actually tried leading studies again, and I'm like, I can't. You know, sometimes you just have to learn it's okay. You can still impact people. And I get so many people that message me really on almost a daily basis. Like, I'm so inspired, and I'm doing this because I see you doing this. And if you can do it with Lyme's, I can do it. And just also getting that out there, because people don't understand Lyme's. You know, so many people that I care about, and I understand, because it's hard to look at somebody that looks normal and realize that they're actually really sick and have a debilitating disease. So part of it is putting a face on Lyme's to say, this is what Lyme's looks like. And I write about it often, so that, and so many people are like, I never knew, I had no idea. So it's getting the word and the knowledge out there about how Lyme's really does affect us.
And, yeah. And what are some of the common misconceptions that you, I mean, that you're talking about? Obviously, like you're saying, yeah, you look fine, but you're in severe pain. And I know, Tanya, that's what you were struggling with a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone thinks that, well, you look fine. I mean, but you're yeah. But here you can barely take a step. So, but what are some of the other common misconceptions that you've seen and that you feel that you need to address when people are reaching out?
I think a lot of it is really the mental. Like, I did not realize how much it impacted my ability. I'm a realtor as well, and I own vacation property. So I went back into real estate about 5 years ago. So obviously I was still dealing with it full force. But when my dad passed away, I decided to go back into real estate and try to be normal. And, you know, what I realized quickly is that I'd been in real estate since I was 27. I could no longer grasp, I felt overwhelmed with contracts and things like that. So I have an assistant who does all my contracts. I negotiate, I do all of everything else, but I realize that I don't have that capacity anymore. So, you know, when I tell people to, like, oh, I can't remember your name, and they laugh, and I'm like, no, I really can't remember your name. A lot of things go in. I would be sitting, listening to a conversation and not hearing anything. Nothing really registers. So I think that's a big misconception. And that's why I actually went and had the SPECT scan, was because I started wondering if I had dementia. Like, is there something wrong with my mental? There's something's not right. I cannot remember. I cannot focus long enough to do things like read or have a conversation with people. I check out. And so that was, at least it's been a big part of my journey, is explaining that. But when you do, people are like, oh, I forget names too all the time. And I'm like, no, I really,
yeah.
I've known people for years in my gym that I still don't know their name, and I'm too embarrassed to say something. So I'll go on Facebook and look. So, I mean, just simple short-term memory. And, you know, I can't always tell people what I did yesterday. So that's a big thing with Lyme's, at least on my journey, it has been.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, and as I'm getting older, I'm sure a lot of my memory could be part of that, But, you know, I always say that I worked really hard, or, you know, I earned the title of having Lyme brain, that I'm just going to use it, you know. And then it also gives me an excuse to be able to talk to somebody about Lyme, because right. I'm like you, you know, we need to put a picture on Lyme, and it's hard sometimes to have people understand us, because, you know, maybe one day we can walk just fine and the next day we can't move. Like,
right.
Well, I thought yesterday you were fine. It's yes. not something that you can explain to somebody who hasn't lived it. It's just, right. it sounds too wishy-washy. It really does make it sound like everything that we're talking about is all in our head.
Right. And obviously right now, training for a competition, I work out two times, sometimes three times a day. And I work out, I train alongside two other awesome girls that are training with me. And even they've made comments like, we didn't realize what you had. We didn't, like, we know you're tired, but now we see. I have a TikTok, and I'm kind of doing my journey through it. And one of them was, I got to where my running was under 10 minute miles and I'm feeling good. And then I went in the next day and I couldn't even do 14 minute miles. My steps were short. I hurt so much. I was crying and I was like, that's not me. I'm not a emotional person. And they saw me, and usually I'm in front of them and I was way behind them. And they both wrote to me and said, you know, sometimes I don't even think that you have lines because I see everything you do. And then I see this and I realize you have something. And I have an amazing coach, and he's always balancing and pushing me, but he has a mom who has autoimmune disease. She has lupus. So he's very, very cautious with me on it. But so he knows it. But unless you know somebody who has these hidden autoimmune diseases, I don't think, you know, we can really truly understand what they go through. So I appreciate you so much because you do what you do, and you don't really know, other than, you know, Tawny and everybody else that you talk to, that you listen to. So that means a lot, because usually people that have Lyme's understand it. I have another woman at our gym that has Lyme. She's amazing. And I say, you know, we're Lyme survivors and Lyme thrivers, because I don't want to just survive it. I want to thrive through what I have. But it's when you talk to somebody who has compassion, who doesn't have it, that's another whole beast, right? Because most people don't get it.
Absolutely.
Understandably so, to be honest. I've watched, when I was looking at Lyme's, I watched a lot of documentaries and I thought, they are crazy.
Yeah.
That's so sad, because you're like, oh no, they're nuts. And yeah, I'm like, I'm one of them.
I don't think that, you know, unless maybe it was somebody I knew my whole life and just trusted them, I don't know that I could believe some of the things I would tell people. I'm like, I I've never been one to lie. My mom always says, I know when you're lying, because your whole neck turns red. And so I would tell people, I'm like, is my neck red? And they're like, no. I said, okay, I'm telling you the truth then, because when I lie, my neck turns red. I said, so everything I'm telling you is the truth. I know it sounds crazy. Like, I know it does.
Yes.
But that's what it is, you know, and that's why I'm so passionate about educating and advocating for Lyme, because so many people don't understand it, you know, and just my journey, and my friends are still like, you know, every time I saw you, you looked fine. And I was like, yeah, if you could just see, you know, how I was actually feeling behind, you know, this smile that you put on just to get through the day. But yeah, it's important for us to do that. And I think what you're doing with the bodybuilding is an incredible thing for your children to see. You know, they saw what you went through, and, you know, your daughter, when she drew the picture of you and her laying in bed, and look at you now, you know, that's going to just give them that inspiration that no matter what life throws at you, I can do it. You know, put your mind to something and you can do it. So
yeah,
I think it's incredible.
And also too, I was just thinking about this while we were talking. I remember when I started volunteering at our church two, 3 years ago, and I'm obviously a person who's out there and talkative, and I volunteered as security guard.
I love it.
My woman's pastor kept saying, no, you belong in out front. And I was like, no, because talking is exhausting.
Yeah.
I don't know, Tony, if you experienced that, but just having a conversation. And I think I did experience is it called dry air, or where you don't get enough air.
Air hunger.
That's a part of Lyme's too. I just get so tired. And there are days when I tell the kids, like, I love you and I want to see you, but I don't want to talk to you because I don't have that energy inside. And that's, again, these are all crazy things. I feel like Lyme's is the one like disease that we have to convince people that we have.
And that's exhausting.
Exhausting. And we're already exhausted.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. No, I would go days and not hear a real person's voice. Because I couldn't talk on the phone. It was too overstimulating for my brain. Mm-hmm. And just having a 5-minute conversation, like I seriously felt like I ran a marathon. I was just, my body hurt from talking. Yeah. It was horrible. So I did a lot of texting. Yeah. And I'm a talker. Some people are like, Tanya doesn't want to talk. Something must be wrong with her.
I was like, well, maybe I'm just an introvert now. Maybe something happened to me. I don't know, but it did. It was Lyme's, and it changed so much about me. But at the same time, you know, I feel like I'm finding her again.
Yeah.
It's been good. Life. It's still the journey. It's still the journey. It's not, you know, I often wonder if I'll ever be free from it, if I'll ever have that test. I really was discouraged because I really thought this time I've sweated that stuff out of me. I've been working out and it's still there, but again, it doesn't have control over my life now. Now I know what I need to do. I know when I need to rest. I know when I need to shut everything out. I know when I need a massage or when I need an IV. I just had one today. I just went and had my Lyme drip today because it really, really helps me. So finding what works for you is so important. And what I realize is it's really different for everybody. Because a lot of people write to me and say, oh, I know, you know, Aunt Susie has Lyme's and this is what she does. And I think there's so many therapies out there, but I think with this disease, it's like what responds to your body may not respond to what's in my body. And I've had all the tests on the toxins that everything else. And so far I've come up clean on everything other than Lyme's. Mm-hmm. But balancing my hormones with bioidenticals is the other piece of it for me, that I have to stay balanced on my hormones or I will definitely go down again.
So, and what people don't realize is that Lyme is it's a combination disease. I mean, it's not just the Borrelia, it's a combination of different pathogens, and you then mix that in with, you know, where are my hormones at? You know, where's my detox capacity? What's my genetic SNPs? You know, so you have all these different factors and all of them add up to the disease picture. But it's going to be extremely different from one person to another, even though there may be some commonalities, but it's always going to be unique. And so you need to, like you're saying, listen, be in tune, and kind of feel your own body, what feels right. You know, some people do great on antibiotics. Other people, that's the worst thing ever. Yeah, so it's not a blanket solution in any shape or form.
Yeah. And actually one of the antibiotics I couldn't handle. And I've heard some of your other guests. I'm like, oh, they know all the names and everything. And I don't. I'm like the ley line person. I can only tell you what I feel, and some things work, some things don't work. I've tried so many things throughout the years, but it wasn't that I knew it was Lyme's. I just tried anything, vitamins and teas and herbals. And, so many of those things just didn't work for me. So my diet, it makes a big difference. And getting that tested to see what causes inflammation makes a big deal. I get in the hot tub a lot. I also have an infrared sauna in my bedroom. So
awesome.
That therapy, that really helps me quite a bit. I was in there probably every day. And that really did help the inflammation.
And the thing with infrared that people don't know about is that it turns on the mitochondria as well. So it turns on the energy production within the cell in addition to the detoxification that takes place. So you get a little bit of both, you know, which is great. So have you done hormone therapies. Have you also looked into different peptide therapies as well?
You know, I do have a peptide. Actually, my doctor just prescribed it a month ago to help me because she's very much in tune with what I'm doing. So she actually did prescribe. I do dissolve. Is it a peptide that I'm putting under my tongue? Does that sound right?
So there's some that you can put under the tongue or swallow. There are others you self-inject. You can, and a lot of times, and combining that with like sub-Q of NAD, yeah, it can be really helpful. You know, thymosin alpha 1, thymosin beta 4, BPC 157. So I'm just saying these because I know you're going to retain all of these after.
Yeah, I'm going to be like messaging you saying, what was that again?
Who are you? No, just kidding.
I don't always remember your last name either. I have Lyme on the brain.
But not even my patients do. They call me Dr. K, you know, so.
Dr. K sounds really good to me.
Oh, so now you know why I call you Dr. K.
Exactly. So when I call him Dr. M in a few minutes. Well, I really feel like our connection, honestly, to me is very interesting, and even how we came about to get to know each other through Dr. Winters. My doctor, who again I absolutely adore, is an integrative MD. She's not a Lyme specialist MD. So I always feel like, you know, God access for a reason. And so I am looking forward to knowing what are other things that I could utilize to keep getting better. Because I feel like I know this sounds crazy. I feel like I'm 70% better. I don't feel like I'm 90% better, because every day is still a day where, especially right now training, I worked out at 4:15 in the morning at 8:30, and then I spend the rest of the day in bed. And it's okay. That's one thing I've realized, is it's okay for me to not, because if I push, you know, and Tani, you would understand, you just go off of adrenaline. You know, being in real estate, I get a call from a client, we need to go look at a property right now, and I don't feel like it, but you do it. Then you know that there's a cost that you have to pay at the end of that. So I've really learned to balance my life. And even with 9 kids, I know people are like, how do you do it? I'm like, they're very independent, and they know that when mom is down, mom is needing her downtime. So having a supportive family is really big. And I even had them listening to some of your podcasts, because I wanted them to hear, like, see, I'm not crazy. See, that there are other people that experience this, because I realized that even they can't fully understand what it feels like to live inside of my body, as we can't anybody's. You know, my mom had cancer, and I couldn't understand what she was dealing with. And it's amazing how much more empathy you have for people. You know, we learn empathy from being sick ourselves, and then understanding that, you know, even my dad, who he sadly had a lot of obesity related issues and diseases, and that's what he died from. You know, I don't think I look back now and I think I could have been more compassionate. I mean, I love him, and I know he loved me, but I was sick too. So, but I definitely could understand his cognitive, issues that he had, and how it really affects us mentally, because I'm not the same person when I'm in a flare up. I'm not the same person. I don't feel the same. My brain doesn't feel the same. Sometimes it, you know, would feel like it was quite literally, on fire, or being shaken, say being shaken in some kind of a machine. I think, you know, it's definitely been an interesting journey. I still have more to go. I feel like 70% is really good compared to where I was just a few years ago, but there's always more to research and to try.
Yeah. It's that next step. And I think I tell patients and also people that try to understand. So even though you don't may see it, but if you have somebody with a Lyme brain or dealing with some kind of neurological or dementia, whatever it may be, it's kind of like, and you don't understand, well, why can't they just figure this out? You know, why can't they just read the contract? You know, it's so easy. It's right there. You know, simple numbers. You know, I don't understand why they can't. So it's kind of like trying to, you have to almost picture a person with one leg trying to run a race. Yeah, and that's right. What it is. It's an actual physical impossibility that's taking place, and you're right. Trying to put a pressure on an individual to do something that they physically are not able to do. You know, like running a one-legged race. You know, mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of recognize that yes, maybe I don't see it, but this is actually what's going on, and I can't have the expectation that they should be able to do it, because I wouldn't have that on a person with one leg. I wouldn't have that right. expectation on that person to, you know, run an 8-minute mile. I wouldn't.
Right.
So.
Right. Absolutely. That's such a good example. I always try and say, like, my brain feels like I've got headphones and music blaring and you are trying to talk to me. So I cannot focus. It's like, I'm hearing this, but I'm not hearing you. It just takes so much, but you know, like I said, it's a journey and it's getting better. And, just, you know, where I'm at now, looking back to 2 years ago is just, it's night and day. It really is.
Yeah. And that's incredible. I'm curious still. So you went, you know, the gal in Texas, you know, she diagnosed you, she gave some antibiotic and you did IVs. What is it that really shifted things for you that made you 70% better? I heard diet, I had hormones. What
infrared,
else?
The infrared sauna, mm-hmm. Doing that. That's really what I've done. The infrared sauna. I obviously have a regimen of different vitamins, that I take, from her, which, you know, she balances without putting too much on my plate, because that's the other thing is, like, there were times and seasons where I was taking handfuls of pills and herbal remedies, and, you know, it gets exhausting. You're already exhausting. I mean, my kids separate all my vitamins for me as it is now, because it's a mental trick to do it for me. But really, I mean, that is it. That is what I've done so far. There was a time when I was considering going to Mexico and getting treatment, or, you know, going to Europe. And it's so sad that you're, you know, the blessing for me is our insurance actually covers my treatments, because we don't have your typical insurance. We have a Christian-based share program, and they actually do believe in other therapies versus, you know, what we get from the doctors. I think I just spent so many years going to doctors and then telling me, this is what you have, take a pill, that I try to go against any of that at this point. So yeah, that really is, I guess that's really what I do. It's, and I think, like, for the IV therapies have made a big, big difference in my life. And it's not always that I can tell, because a lot of people will ask me, they're like, oh, you get IVs every week. And I don't now. Now it's about every 2 to 3 weeks I go and get a 2-hour Lyme drip treatment that includes Plaquex. So I do, like, a treatment that's got the glutathione and all that good stuff. And then also the Plaquex. So it's about a 2-hour treatment I do every 2 weeks. And there are times that I've tried to go without it, thinking I feel pretty good. And then I crash, and then I go back in. And so it's not that I notice it every time I get it, but I notice it when I don't get it. So for me, I think that's probably been the biggest thing that keeps me going. I don't know where I'd be without those IV treatments.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm shocked that you only feel 70% when you're doing what you're doing. it quite blows my mind, actually.
I think it's probably the cognitive, but at the same time, you know, I still get to the end, like, 5 o'clock, and I'm ready to go to bed. And yes, right now, I mean, obviously I'm doing a lot, and I'm pushing myself, but I feel like that's at least I can go to bed knowing you did a lot today. You accomplished a lot. So when I'm done with the competitions, we're actually going to Mexico to live for the month of July.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, that's how I met Dr. Winters.
Yeah, okay. Actually. Yeah, she is yes. such a cool and gal. Yeah.
She's amazing. And she talks so highly of you. I was so excited when we actually connected. And interestingly enough, you know, another piece is that I have a daughter who actually has a very rare blood cancer. Oh. And so I'm really wanting her to see that it doesn't matter what you have, you can push past that and, you know, you just, but you can't stop, you know. It's easy for a doctor to say, here's a chemo pill, take it for the rest of your life. But I don't want to just see her survive. I want her to thrive. So I want to be an example to her too, that she can do it. So it's just a full circle in terms of meeting Dr. Winters, meeting you, meeting Tawny, because now my patches, that's kind of the next therapy I'm trying. And, you know, it's hard because so many people have so many things they want to tell you to try. And you just have to, I just feel like certain people come in my life at a certain time and I feel good about it. Like, this is something I can incorporate and but I'm also like, I'll tell you the truth if it doesn't,
right.
You know, because that's the hardest thing is you want to know that it really, really works. And when Tawny and I, you talked, and I had a friend that just coincidentally haven't seen in years. And she messaged me on Facebook Messenger just last week and said, hey, I have something that might help you. It was exactly the patches.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I was like, I haven't heard a word about it since until you and I talked. So I am excited about that to see if that will render some results for me.
Yeah. And, it, you know, Dr. Carlfelt got me to where I think I'm 100%, but I still, you know, had the residual chronic pain because, you know, Lyme had ate away at the inside of my body for so long, can't mm-hmm. sleep, brain fog. And honestly, like the rest of that, I just owe to the LifeWay patches because all of it's gone. And it just, I truly That's have great. All of my life back. It's just incredible. Yeah. So it's hard not to share with somebody, especially that's been down a journey like me, you know,
yes.
whether that happens for everybody that tries it, everybody's different.
It's like every other therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not one for you, thing it's for wonderful. And you just hope that it works for you. I think part of that discouraging thing is that we try so many different things and they don't work. So you start losing heart of feeling like you'll ever, you know, get your yep. full life back. I've always been a really active person and this has definitely changed, but I see positive. I see, like, you know, it's all learning experience. And I do think one day I will not have it. I'm just going to stake that in the too. Ground right
you
now.
You have such a positive attitude that there's no doubt that one day you're going to not feel anything of any sign of Lyme. I feel it because you're just going to keep pushing towards that. So,
yeah, but I'd always like, you know, I always would like to know more about it in terms of what treatments are working for people and what are other things that you could do. It's just trying to find the right resources, because that's another thing. Obviously there's so many resources that you already have an overwhelmed brain. So,
right. And I think I did invite you to my Facebook page, the Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. I think it's a great page because you get to hear what works for people, you know, mm-hmm. and just different therapies, just like this podcast. You know, you get to hear our stories are so much alike as far mm-hmm. as our symptoms, but mm-hmm. what we do to get better, they're so different. And people need to know that there are so many different modalities that you can use to feel better. It's not, you know, you don't have to go to a $100,000 clinic because that's where somebody went and got better. There's just a lot of things that you can learn on your own to do on your own at home that costs nothing, you know, coffee mm-hmm. enemas or dry mm-hmm. brushing. There's just so much out there that we need to just spread the word about and let people hear and listen so that they know that they can get better, whether their Yolanda on the Housewives or not. You know, if they don't have that pocketbook, you can still get better. So
yeah, Yolanda, I was always jealous of the nurse she had that did all her medication for her. So that's what gave me the idea for my kids. Like, hey, start doing this.
I got nine of you.
Yeah. Well, I hate to turn it around, but I'm actually curious, Dr. K, like what brought you into this realm with something you don't currently have, or you've never had.
Well, and that's the thing is that when you have patients coming to you and they're dealing with complex health conditions, and you're feeling that what you're doing may not be enough and not appropriate, then you always mm-hmm. have to push yourself to figure out how can I do things better. And so mm-hmm. so that led me on the journey. I mean, I studied with Dr. Klinghart for quite some time, and so just kind of learning all these different aspects that presents as different autoimmune conditions, you know, whether mm-hmm. you're diagnosed with lupus or whether you're mm-hmm. diagnosed with fibromyalgia. I mean, my first wife, I mean, I know she had Lyme, you know, because she was dealing with fibromyalgia, and it was a trauma that kind of activated it all. You know, she was hit by a bunch of boxes at a store, you know, that fell, you know, from above. And right after the day after, she woke up with, you know, fibromyalgia. She rock hard, couldn't move, exhausted, yep. you know. And so I have no doubt that she was dealing with Lyme in addition to all these other factors that were part of the picture. And it's these kind of life events that drives you to learn and figure out, you know, how to get better. And I'm still learning. And this is kind of why I love doing these type of chats, you know, this podcast, is because it's just as much for me. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's, I mean, we're bringing out awareness, but I'm learning all the time.
Yeah. Right. Well, so. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I nice thank him all the time too. He's amazing.
It's nice to have two doctors on your team that go, hey, I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe you. I do believe that you have something. Yeah, and it's not in your mind. I think that was the hardest thing was trying, you know, just and coming to a place where I'm like, is it my body or is it my head? Is it my head? If it's my head, and I would go back and get, you know, put me on a pill, put me on a depression pill. And, you know, I've had seasons of depression in my life when my mom was ill with cancer and I was a young mom with three babies and walking her through that. And there were seasons of it, but I wasn't a depressed person. Mm-hmm. So constantly hearing it's all in your mind was really, really hard. And I would literally say,
it's depressing to hear that.
It's like, then you do get depressed because you're like, okay, maybe it's my body's not really hurting. It's just my brain. And you know, but every time you can get better. And then if something does happen, something stressful, it's like the fight or flight just comes right back in. And as soon as I feel that, I start feeling that downward physical spiral. That does happen. And that's why I have to be really careful these days on allowing stress in my life and keeping stress out of my life or stressful relationships out of my life. There's a lot of things that I think we could do to serve ourselves and to put ourselves in places where we can function better. I mean, obviously real estate is a high stressful job, but that's why I have an assistant to help me with all the process after a contract has been written, because to me with Lyme, those are the things that really stresses me out. But showing and negotiating, all those things are like, that comes second nature to me. That's not something, it's stressful, but it's manageable. So I think, you know, finding the balance of what works and what doesn't work for what you allow in your life is so, so big. And that's something all of us can do. You know, yeah. Whether you have Lyme or not, we probably need to be doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so. I think it's important also, you know, talking about depression, anxiety, and that they're willing to just, you know, and the medical doctor is willing to throw pharmaceuticals at you just. And I think that is a, you know, because as a doctor, you don't want to not have the solution. You always want to have some solution that you're presenting, even though you may not understand. And so it. In this situation doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't people that are dealing with depression, But in this situation, I think it's almost like a little kind of, I would almost call it like a cop-out, that you just want the patient to be quiet and here is a solution. Right. And this is the only thing that I have that I can offer because I don't know anything of what it is that you're dealing with.
Right, right. I think the worst memory I have was being back in New York within that first year after the accident. And it was my older daughter's birthday. And the medication that the psychiatrist had me on was so bad that I remember sitting in a like a futon in my bedroom, curled up in a ball, rocking and all complete, like just all nerves, and her coming in there and me crying because I couldn't celebrate. I couldn't go downstairs. I couldn't. And it wasn't my body. It was the medication that I was on. And, you know, for that, I do think that having the SPECT scan was something where you image the heart. If your heart, you have an issue, you know, you look at your stomach. If you have stomach issues, there's testing. But when it comes to the brain, doctors are so quick to throw something and to not know which part of the brain is struggling. So, you know, I know what medication I can take if I feel like I need to, that quiets down my GABA center versus other parts. I wish that was more utilized in psychiatry or just in general, to be able to look at a brain. And I didn't know that you could see Lyme on a brain. I'm amazed. And that was validating too, because that was an actual physical test on my brain where they could measure inflammation. And that helped me a lot to realize I'm not, you know, again, we're always trying to prove to ourselves and to others that we're not crazy with this disease. And I do think people need to be on medication. There are people that struggle with depression and with anxiety, and it certainly gives me so much more compassion for them too. But I really would like to see correct diagnoses, because for me, I think I went through 4 or 5 different medications, and none of them worked, or maybe they worked for a short amount of time, but they never sustained. And then that is depressing in itself, because then you go back to square one, but your body still hurts. So you're thinking it's all here and it's not there. It is physical and it's mental, it's both, but not the realm that we get put into where it's just here. So having doctors that are balancing both for people and balancing hormones is, I think such a big, it's made a big difference in my life too. So, wonderful. So yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so grateful that you're willing to come on the show and tell your story. I mean, it's so inspirational, you know, with where you came from, what you battled, you know, where you're at now. And that's what I love is, you know, for people to, yeah, you become a witness of what this looks like so other people can understand themselves. And also, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, your family, they could understand you through other people's, you know, experiences. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I think just learning to be compassionate to ourselves, because I was harder on myself than anybody could have been, because I kept thinking, why can't you get up? Why can't you just go and make dinner? Why don't you want to go spend time with your kids? Why don't you, you know, all that? We're the biggest critic. And I think having self-love and to be okay not being okay at times and not being so hard on ourselves, because especially as moms, I feel like we're totally hard on ourselves if we can't be the mom that we want to be. And I had to learn to let go of the mom that I was for so many years. I homeschooled for 17 years. I could no longer homeschool. I tried. And after that year, I couldn't. I hired somebody to come in and that didn't work. And so when we moved here, I put my kids in public school and I had to say, you know what? It's okay. Because God knew that I was going to have Lyme's. And, you know, he knew that I wasn't going to be able to do that or be in full-time ministry. And my life has changed, but it doesn't mean it's changed for the worse. And it doesn't mean I failed. Right. So, yeah, I think that's really important for people to not be so hard on themselves and to realize that it's okay to be gentle with yourself in this phase.
And celebrate victories.
Yeah.
Very absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what you got to look at. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. And good luck on your competition.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited about it. We'll see where it takes me. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
One of my
so
hashtags
much.
Is Lime Warrior. So everybody
yes,
knows.
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever happens, you're going to rock it.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll send y'all pics.
I love it. Yes.
All right.
Please.
Definitely.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. God bless, guys.
God bless. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com. And an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.